I want to cover the topic of some Hilchot Shabbat of bikes, rollerblades, scooters,
Yeah.
all those topics of transportation on Shabbat, starting from bikes and working our way towards the subway, trains, airplanes, cruise, all those topics. Okay, so this is mostly overview of some Hilchot Shabbat. And we'll try to get to a lot of practical applications with that. I'm gonna record. I got it. Hami, I got the recording on my phone. Perfect. And even I could do it over here as well. Awesome. Thanks. So the question is, what do you think goes into the answering that question about a bike? Are you allowed a bike on Shabbat? Why yes, why no? The why yes might be easy. Any reasons why should it be mutar to ride a bike on Shabbat? Any potential issues that could come up? Very good. Okay. Well, so you can always go with the precedent. Excellent. The Ben Ish Chai has a tshuva. Very nice. Okay. Ben Ish Chai, Ra'a Palim, Or Chaim Siman Chaf Hei says yes. To some degree, their bikes probably looked a little different than ours. But he was discussing a bike and like a rickshaw, where there was a bike that would be a person, they still have today, where a person would be able to bike and pull a carriage. But he does permit that on Shabbat. They didn't use bikes really the way that they use it today for sports and for traveling long distance. But for rich people, it was a thing. It did exist, a rickshaw type of thing. There are in particular, oh yes, Sal, what do you think? Are you raising your hand or are you
About the
just,
bike.
what do you want to say?
No, I just want to say
Yes.
just glaring or something.
Oh, glad. Okay. Any,
For carrying,
any.
isn't it carrying a bike? That's the
Okay.
negative, the part of it.
Excellent. Okay. Carrying is one of the biggest issues if you don't have any
Fixing,
roof.
you might have to fix it.
You may have to fix it. Good. These are all good issues.
You might go push with
what?
home because it's going to carry you too far.
Okay, we're hitting on all the right names now. What about there's this very ambiguous general isur sometimes we talk about if something is in the spirit of Shabbat. Anybody know
Chutz
what?
l'chol, chutz l'chol.
Udzidechol. It's very general, and we have to figure out exactly how to apply that one. But Udzidechol. It's sometimes a catch-all. So some people want you want to know sometimes are you allowed to go swimming on Shabbat? Now that's not exactly the same type of discussion, but that we throw around that term uvdedechol. Is it by Ashkenazim? Is it Shabbos dick? Is it in the spirit of Shabbat? Okay, so we'll come back to all those. Any other reasons? And the reason for why yes could just be. If there's no reason to say it's forbidden, then it should be like everything else. What's wrong with it? It should be okay. Another reason, maybe, is good purpose to a bike on Shabbat, if it's helping a person to get to shul. What about for a doctor who lives not so far from his hospital? He lives 2 miles, so either he could drive or take a bike. So that's already. Is this better, or should just go straight away? Another, we'll get to dealing with subway. Is subway any better? Is taxi any better for the doctor? We'll deal with those at that time. Okay, any other applications of a bike? Fine. So let's dive into it. I'll share my screen and then we'll think about it. Here we go. So. The bike issue touched on a lot of things. We're about to talk about it in several places. He is starting with the Ben Ish Chai. The Ben Ish Chai definitely did say it's permitted. However, the Yaskel Avdi, Rav Avadya Hadaya, said the Ben Ish Chai on his deathbed retracted. Before he passed away, the Ben Ish Chai called in some Talmidim. He was talking and he said, from this tshuva about the bikes, he said he does not permit it anymore. He retracted his opinion. Rav Avadya says, at the end of the day, we don't have that in writing. We just have oral reports. It's not clear. Some people say he did say it, some people say he didn't. He doesn't go with that oral report. Okay, but he nonetheless, he brings a lot of other reasons, though he's not comfortable with bikes on Shabbat. Okay, that doesn't mean that he's the be-all and end-all, that there is no other shita on this, but there's a very important shita of Chamavadi. He's strict when it comes to bikes. Now, some of the things he thinks are for sure problems, a lot of things he thinks are not such a problem. So let's go over. Here, how many do we got here? I have five issues that could be. One of them is Choresh. Funny issue, no one really brought it up, but it's a discussion. What do you say, dragging a heavy bench on Shabbat in the grass? Is that a problem? Mutar, Asur? Am I allowed to drag a bench on in the grass? Pesikresha. Very good. So the Gemara says that if it's for sure going to make a furrow, it's going to make a hole in the grass, it's a problem. Not allowed to do that on Shabbat. Even according to Rabbi Shimon has this opinion. If you're not sure if it's going to be a malacha when you're doing some action, that's allowed. It's a little bit, it's not the same, but like safek. Sometimes there's safek, derabanan, we're lenient. So safek, if there's going to be a malacha on Shabbat, you're not intending for a malacha, that's allowed. Now it's not just derabanan, it's even deraita. That's the idea of davar she'en mechazein. Secret is you know it's going to happen. It comes from the phrase, if you cut off the head of a chicken, you know, to make a toy for a kid, you know that the animal's going to die. That's a malacha on Shabbat. So therefore, some want to say it's forbidden to ride a bike on Shabbat. If you ride over dirt at any point, not just the pavement, if you ride over dirt, so then it's going to make a hole in the ground. What's the problem with making a hole? Choresh, it's like plowing. You make a hole in the ground, you can then plant something in that hole. Okay? So any reasons why that's not a good reason to say the bikes are forbidden? Any devil advocate, any arguments? I want to say it's forbidden because you're making a hole in the ground when you ride a bike over some dirt. It makes imprints. Any reasons why that is a problem? Or anybody want to say why that could be mutar?
Ride on the street and you don't have that problem.
Okay, you could ride on the street. Very good, fine. Another reason, anybody have shoes that make imprints on the ground or have seen such a thing? Yeah, exactly. So are you allowed to wear cleats on Shabbat? Or the kids, sometimes kids have ones that have letters or pictures on the bottom of their shoes. Or whatever. It says Adidas or whatever. It says something on the bottom of their shoes. Anybody ever see something like that? Okay, same idea as cleats. Is that allowed or not allowed? Is that writing on Shabbat if it says Adidas or whatever, Nike? So the one reason why it's not such a problem is, even if it's Tikresha, well, is it Deraita or Derabanan? Okay, so this is going to get complicated, but we're going to wrap it up and make it clear and easy. The point is, it might not be Deraita over here, because you're not going to use the hole. There's no intention. The guy is just riding his bike over the grass. He might be making a hole, but he's not intending to use that hole for anything. That's Malchus Shein Tzrich L'Gufo. So that's one reason why it's not Deraita. Another reason is, what's the normal way to make a hole if you're trying to plant stuff? Is you take a shovel, a hoe, and you dig a hole. So that's normal. What happens when you're not digging with a shovel, you're digging with a bike? That's totally a shinui. Shinui is not normal. Shinui is derabanan. So you have two derabanans. One is malchus shein l'gufo, the other one is shinui, and psik reisha. So okay, psik reisha, is it nichalai? Do you benefit from the hole? Or not nichalai? What do you think? Yeah, there's no reason. I'm not biking to make holes. That's psikresha to lo nichale. Psikresha lo nichale on a derabanan, we're lenient. Okay? Even lachachila. Okay, so that's going to be, especially with double derabanan, a lot of other reasons over here. Okay, so in terms of choresh, we're not so worried. That's step number one, though. Okay, so dragging a bench on Shabbat in the backyard, we should try to avoid, but it could be there's reason to allow it many times when you're not really intending to use the hole. So that's only derabanan to begin with. And it's shinui, it's not a normal way to do it. Okay? That's the first thing. Next one is, I'll bring up a tangent, but it's related to Choresh. The Gemara says that you're not supposed to sweep on Shabbat, because on the floor, because they used to have dirt floors on, they used to have dirt floors, and when a person would sweep, they would make holes in the ground, or they'd fill in holes. And it's either choresh or boneh. To make a hole is choresh. Boneh is either making a hole inside, or it's filling it up, it's soter. So, however, today we're not so, we don't think it's such a big deal to sweep. Is it mutar to sweep on Shabbat inside? Ever see this? In the Levy house, you guys sleep? Not so much on Shabbat. So the halacha.
Sleepers.
Absolutely mutar. So the Shulchan Aruch is, you do it in a place where there's pavement, there's no problem. But the Mishnah, in the days of the Mishnah Berurah, after even in Shulchan Aruch, he says it depends on the place. If everybody in your town has pavement, has wooden floors or floors that are not dirt floors, so then you could sweep on Shabbat. But if you live in a town that some people do and some people don't, then there's a gazera, then we're afraid people are not going to be able to distinguish. So they talk about this. This is a very interesting sort of question. They playing ball on dirt outside, and you might have holes. It might come to fill in or not. So they talk about this, for example, by soccer. So could a person play soccer on not dirt place? So that's already a big discussion, because sometimes the soccer fields are normal soccer fields, and there's holes, and you might not want there to be holes. You're going to try to improve the field by getting rid of those holes. So is that a gazera apply? It's a big diyun on soccer. Some poskim, the Shmir Shabbat was machmir. Some poskim were lenient, because you don't really want the holes. You're not trying to make holes. You could play soccer just, unless you're professional, you could play with the holes in the ground as well. I don't know, in Levy backyard, do you guys play soccer ever? There's football. Basketball? Nah.
No soccer
team. Okay. So that's a discussion they had. Good. Next, on to issue number two. Choresh, we said, Psik Resha, Derabanan, there's what to be lenient. What about the chain might fall off? You might fix the bike on Shabbat. Dr. Levy brought this up. So, I once heard that this definitely, I think one of the Dweks told me, I think this is definitely a thing that happens with bikes. I know for myself, the chains sometimes break. And during the week, you want to fix it right away. Even though it's greasy and annoying to fix, you want to fix it. This way you can get back home. You don't have to deal with schlepping a bike that's heavy and annoying and broken. So you want to try to fix it. So what about that? Should we say gzera or not? Any reason why we should not say gzera? They might fix the chain. Any reason? So this is a little bit harder, but I put the Hebrew over there. But there's a rush. The rush says we don't make up new gzerot. Okay. For example, Chamavadi talks about, could you play Monopoly on Shabbat? Paper money. What do we say? Monopoly.
Most definitely. Miriam said yes.
Okay. Well, she's right. That's the Chamavadi's opinion. There was a Chai Adam. The Chai Adam 100 years ago said you can't play any game that has paper money, toy money, because the Gezira, just like you can't use real money on Shabbat because you might come to buy and sell or whatever and do transactions, and you might come to write it down. So if you use paper money, you might come to make transactions and then write it down. So therefore, you may take the game too seriously and start, tallying up the score or whatever. Okay, you can't really do that with Monopoly. But anyway, you might start writing things down. Chamavadi says, we don't make up new gezerot. Chazal had enough gezerot. Whatever's including Chazal's gezerot are asur, anything that's not is not. And then for bikes, we can't create a new gezerot. Okay? That's the long and short of it by the Bonet. Carrying is a big issue. Carrying, that's the third issue. Number three, Hotzah, carrying. Carrying is definitely not simple. Can't carry in Shabbat. Even if, it says in the Gemara, if a guy kicks a rock outside, even though he's not carrying with his hands, that's also considered like carrying. If it's intentionally trying to carry the rock by kicking it, that's already considered carrying. If he doesn't intend, so that's already midasik, whatever. If he does, if a person's walking down the street by accident, his foot kicks into a rock, that's midasik. It wasn't intentional. It didn't mean to do anything. There's a strange story, by the way, just about midasik. If someone makes a malacha by not thinking, so usually we say that he's not punished for that. That's not a problem. Does he need a kapara? Does he need any atonement for doing a malacha without thinking? Let's say a guy has a rock in his shoe, and he didn't realize he had some dust in his shoe. And he comes home, he takes off his shoes, and then he sees there's some dust. And he's walking outside the Eruv. Is that considered like carrying?
No.
Why not? Why is it that he shouldn't? Maybe he shouldn't need a kapara. Why not?
I think that's just, it's It's not.
Okay. One reason
Sometimes it's
maybe
not intentional.
you should say batel. All right. I'm not intentional is the one we were bringing up before. Midatik. Midatik is it's you weren't intending to do anything here. It's not that you were intending to carry the bench. You might cause a malacha. You might not cause a malacha. That you're opening the oven. You might turn on the fire. You might not turn on the fire. You might turn on the light. You might not turn on the light. It has nothing to do with anything. You're walking down the street. You're not trying to do any malacha. And then you didn't even realize the malacha was happening. That's Midatik. But they have a story from the Arizal. They quote that he saw that somebody in a dream was went to. It was all pale, and he asked him, "Why? What happened to you? You're a big chassid. You're very careful mitzvot." He said, "Because one time on Shabbat, I was walking, and a rock got into my shoe, and I didn't realize, and I didn't take it out until after I walked in the street on Shabbat. So it was considered carrying. In Shemayim, they're very strict about that." So the rabbi said, "We don't paskin based on dreams. That's not the halakha. The halakha is that that's not a big deal." Okay, it happens either way, but you're not knowing. We assume that that's mutar. Okay, back to the story though with the bikes. Carrying is definitely an issue. You're not allowed to carry on Shabbat. Even pushing a bike or riding a bike is considered carrying. How did the Ben Ish Chai get around this? Anybody can come with creative reasons why could it be mutar? Excellent. Okay. I don't know, was Baghdad 100 years ago walled? I don't know. So if it's a walled city, it's okay.
Maybe if, like in Baghdad, or like in Morocco or something, the Jews were, you know, all spread out or far from the shul or something, and then the only way they could come is if they took a bike.
Okay, that partly is relevant to his tshuva was about using a rickshaw, whatever it was, having a non-Jew ride the bike and have and carry a wagon with a Jew behind him to bring him to shul. That was partly the case. It was for a mitzvah. In terms of the hotzah, he has some very creative ideas there. He talks about maybe we should say that the entire bike and everything else is batel to the person. And what's the halakha about carrying a person? Am I allowed to carry someone in my hands, a baby, or a person on my shoulders on Shabbat outside in the street with no eruv? Am I allowed to carry a person? Generally not, but is that deraita derabanan? Anybody heard of chai nosa et asmo? A person carries himself. If you have a live person is not so heavy sometimes to carry. It depends who you carry, but a live person, so to speak, carries their own weight. If there's dead weight, they call it. If somebody is resisting their dead weight, they're much heavier. So that's chai nosa asmo is derabanan. It's not deraita. So Ben Chai uses, it's one derabanan is you ask the non-Jew. Another derabanan is chayno sar asmo. The entire bike or wagon, everything is batel to the person. Chayno sar asmo makes so all those, and he comes up with another one. Maybe it's a grama, a big chidush. It's a grama because you press on the pedal, which turns the gear, which turns the wheel. Calls that a grama. That's the biggest chidush of all. That's not direct. You're not pushing it directly. You're just pushing on the pedals, which make the bike go. And then he puts it all together and says, for mitzvah, it's so loud. So Chamavai does not agree. What do you say about the grama, though? Do you think pressing on the pedal on a bike that pushes the gear, that pushes the wheel, is considered grama, indirect, or it is direct? What do we say?
Direct.
So Rav Shlomo Zalman saw this, tshuva, the Ben Shchai, and says, he doesn't understand. How can you say that's not direct? That someone's going to use a gun, chas v'shalom, to kill somebody. Is he, when we have a Sanhedrin, are we going to give him a capital crime? Or we'll say, it's indirect. Because inside the gun, there's a trigger. It lights a spark. The spark lights the gunpowder, and then it shoots a bullet. Is that direct or indirect? So again, yeah, what do you say, Hami?
Direct.
That's as direct as you can get. So Rav Shlomo Zalman said, it doesn't matter how many steps it takes, the matter is, based on the way the system is built. The system is made to function like that. So it's one button, so that's already a system. That's considered not grama. There's no time delay. Same thing with a bike. It may take a half a second until your wheels move. That's just because the gears are sort of slow. Till you start to pedal, you don't start to move the bike. But that's not because of a time delay. It doesn't like grama at all. Fine. So Mavadia, therefore, would not allow biking outside the Eruv. Okay, so let's, Shema Amina, bottom line from the bikes, get to the point. In terms of Choresh, mutar. In terms of Boneh, mutar. In terms of hotza, because we said we don't make up zero. The first two issues are not issues. Third issue, hotza, is an issue. Therefore, in the Eruv, mutar, after the Eruv, asur. Two more issues. Ubda d'chol, and Ravadi really thinks it is a problem, Ubda d'chol. Ubda d'chol is, what is in the spirit of Shabbat? It's a very mysterious sort of issue, hard to figure out. Chazunish said, you have to ask the Gedolim. It's up to the Gedolim in each generation to figure out what's called Ubda d'chol and what's not. So it's a very complicated sort of issue. That's and then the last one's minhag. Okay, the oral tzitzit says it's not the minhag to do by Shabbat. In the Syrian community, in lots and lots of places, they do bike on Shabbat. So in terms of minhag, okay, they're not so worried. They have the Benish Chayder line. Oh, the whole in the spirit of Shabbat. Maybe if you're going with the suit, or maybe if you're going to shul or whatever. Okay, maybe it is in the spirit of Shabbat. Maybe it's not. In terms of carrying, you can't carry. They would say to do it only in the Eruv. Bottom line, there is such an opinion that exists about that would allow biking on Shabbat. Most opinions, though, Chamavadi was not into it. So basically, I would say it's not the most recommended, but there is such a shita, and that's not that would allow it. But the biggest reason is not the Isurim, it's not based on real malacha, that it's malacha to do biking on Shabbat. The real reason to really osir bikes is Uvda d'chol, it's not in the spirit of Shabbat. Okay? And the bikes have changed from the days of the Ben Yishchai till today, because the bike of the Ben Yishchai was more like a rickshaw, was more like a professional thing that people used, not like a sports bike or a thing that people use for activities during the week usually. Okay, now, any other questions on the bike before we go on to tricycles? Yeah?
Yes, would that be then like same as doing any, you play basketball on Shabbat and doing anything
no.
That would be kind of like...
Not the same. Sports and bikes are a little different. The big difference is that it's not identical. There might be similarities, but they're not identical. A bike is using a tool, using whatever, a bike, using something which generally is like recognizable that you do some activity during the week. And you can use it to transport yourself to get to whatever, to get somewhere else, go far away. And that's a type of activity that's more similar to transportation. That's Ovdei D'chol. More similar to like riding a horse. As opposed to a ball, that's very different. And ball is understood to be not meant as a major transportation. It's nothing to do with transportation. Ball is just a play activity. So I would say for kids playing ball is for sure it's fine. For teenagers, adults playing ball, it's a different story, but yes, it's not identical. It's not based on the bike issue.
Got it. Thank you.
And, okay, so now what do we say about tricycles? Tricycles, I don't know, it's probably not so common in the Levy home anymore.
So that would be like the rickshaw, the tricycle, kind of?
Yeah. Why is it similar?
So Dad, doesn't he ride like a tricycle? Isn't it a tricycle?
Okay, fine. You're saying that is fine. That is similar. I the typical tricycle I'm thinking is like for a baby, for a 3-year-old, whatever. So for a tricycle, the reason to be lenient for a kid riding a tricycle is because it doesn't look like a bike at all. It's not Ubdei D'chol. There's no malacha. And then does it look like Ubdei D'chol in spirit of Shabbat? The answer is it's a toy. Bottom line, the poskim are lenient. Chamavadi is lean on the tricycle because it looks like a toy. It does not look like anything like professional. You're not going to use it to go anywhere. You're not going to office. You're not going anywhere with transporting yourself like a bike. That's why the tricycle. What do we think about roller blades, roller skates?
So to define that halachic thing about the tricycle, so it depends on the context or the intention of the rider. The 3 or 4-year-old is not intending to go from point A to point B, from shul to home, from friend's house to friend's house, from home to friend's house.
Yeah,
he's playing. That's what he does during the week, but it's just a natural kiddie thing to do. It's not a mode of transportation from point A to point B, or how do you define that?
So in Chamavadi, yes. In Chamavadi, it depends on is it a mode of transportation or not, but he doesn't distinguish the type of bike. Meaning, if it's a type of bike that is a mountain bike or is a professional race bike or a teenager size bike, he doesn't distinguish. Bikes are bikes, he doesn't distinguish. He's not into bikes in Shabbat. But tricycles are clearly a separate thing. They don't look the same as bikes, and therefore he's lenient about that. Yes, and the basic point he makes is they're not meant for transportation. They're clearly meant for a toy. They're clearly not meant as a way of doing a major activity that's like outside of the spirit of Shabbat in his understanding. A toy is a toy.
Let's say we made adult-sized tricycles.
So I don't know. He probably would say that's allowed. Probably he'd say it's allowed.
Really? Oh, okay.
Is that the most appropriate use of time on Shabbat for an adult? I don't know, but yes. In a technical term, since it's understood that it's not a mode of transportation. Roller skates and roller blades, what do we say? Are they similar to tricycles or to bikes? Okay, we have Hami's vote. Anybody else?
Jeez.
My vote. I vote with Hami.
Me too.
Okay, we have three here. So, in the Yanki Yosef, he talks about roller skates with four wheels, like the kid ones. The four wheels are two parallel by two, and he says those are mutar because everyone knows those are for kids. So he doesn't really discuss roller blades, the fancier ones. I would say it really depends on the context. If a person's rollerblading in their backyard, okay, then again, that's probably just a toy. If they're rollerblading from place A to place B, they're really trying to go far with it, then that's already the question we were discussing before. I think that there's a slight advantage to roller blades even than bikes because they're not quite as noticeable that is a major big item. It's not like a big noticeable tool. Everybody is biking. Everybody sees the guy who's biking knows that it's really not for Shabbat and he's biking on Shabbat. Everybody sees what he's doing. With the roller blades, yeah, you could see him and you could sort of miss the fact that he's on roller blades unless you're seeing that he's moving quickly or unless you see that you see the blades. But it sort of blends in a lot more with the person than...
Are you an issue? What you're seeing? Or is it what is the nature of that form of transportation and what somebody does with that in general, like during the week? Like, somebody's rollerblading, for example, I think it's more like a tricycle because, you know, you see people rolling, they go around the loop here, they go 2-3 miles, and it's like a fun thing to do. It's not really a mode of transportation. You wouldn't, the chachila, choose to rollerblade to your friend's house. It's just something fun you do around the house. Or whatever. If you want to go to your friend's house during the week, you take a car, you walk, you take your bike. It's a more efficient way of getting there, more practical.
Right. So I think then if that's the case, if that's the case, if people don't really use rollerblades to transport themselves, they're going to use a bike to do that. So then yes, then that would be not of the
default.
Exactly, more mutar. Yes. What about scooters? So I would say Yeah, what do we say on scooters? What do we think? More similar to tricycles or more similar to bikes? Now, they have, like, kiddie scooters. I don't mean the electric scooters. I don't know, like, sometimes police have things that you could, or whatever, people have, not exactly hoverboard, whatever, something that has two wheels that you could stand on, and there's all different sorts of fancy gadgets these days. I don't know. Anybody know any opinion? Not on the electric ones. Electric ones you can't use on Shabbat. What do you think about a scooter?
Oh, what do you say about a scooter? What do kids do with scooters during the week on Shabbat?
I would say it's fine.
You say it's more similar to the toys. Okay, it could be.
Yeah.
It might depend on the type of scooter. Maybe a fancy big scooter might be more similar to bike. I don't know. But yes, it's an unclear question. The Hamavadi does not address scooters. Okay, here we go with cars. Yeah, Hami.
Anyone who does address scooters besides the Hamavadi?
I didn't see anybody addressing it. I would think if it's the children in Halacha, art school book, he goes to Scheinberg making similar chilukim to Rav Avadia about the tricycle and the bicycle. I would say the scooter, if it's understood, it looks like a kiddie one, then that would be fine. That would be pashut. But I don't know. I don't see anybody directly. It could be the post can do right about it. I didn't find anybody. It could be it's not so common scooters in Israel, and the post can didn't write about it so much. And next question, what about cars? Is getting in a car, well, let's here, what's wrong with driving a car in Shabbat? And then the next question, what about if someone's getting on a bus a city bus, getting on a bus on Shabbat. Or if you have a non-Jew driving a bus, there is a, could you have a, someone came up with this idea, a communal bus to go to shul. Let's say a lot of old people in the community, people that need to, that can't really walk or would walk with very a lot of difficulty, so they should have a bus, a van, that they hire a non-Jew before Shabbat, goes to everybody's house, before Shabbat, goes to everybody's house on Shabbat, you tell them in advance, before Shabbat, he stops at everybody's house, he opens the door for 30 seconds, he lets the person on, if he comes in, great, if he doesn't come in, he closes the door, he does all the malachot, this non-Jew, and he brings the people to shul. What do we say about that? Allowed or not allowed? What's wrong with the car to begin with, but then also my second question, the bus, the shul bus, the Shabbat, like the Shabbat elevator, we should have a Shabbat bus.
Wasn't that in Boca?
I don't know. I don't know if they did.
I thought the Lentis were last week. I think it was Rabbi Goldberg's idea. He asked the chef there about that, no?
I don't know. What did he say?
Lentis? Anyone know?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, I thought that's what I heard.
So there was a, I know there was a Rabbi Simcha Cohn. Yeah? Deborah, you want to say? Or
yeah, no, I like that idea. Shabbat elevator, Shabbat bus.
So there was this book, Shabbos the Right Way, called by Rabbi Simcha Cohn, not Art Scroll, a different Simcha Cohn. He was the rabbi in West Orange years and years before I was born. He came up with he said he saw that in India, he once went to India, and he saw in India, in a certain community, they actually had this. They had a bus on Shabbat going, picking up old people, bringing them to the synagogue. Fine. So he wrote about the whole topic. He thought it was allowed. He asked Rav Schechter, he asked Rav Willig, he asked some rabbis. Nobody was giving him haskama. Nobody allowed it of the people he asked. This book was maybe 10, 15 years ago, not recent, but they were not into it at all. And part of the reason, why would anybody not allow that? So one reason, any reasons, Dubin?
Marit Ayin,
very good. That's one reason. Okay, it's not clear to everybody that it's going to be for Shabbat. Okay, but you know what you could say? We'll put a big poster on the outside. Shabbos bus, you know, kosher bus. We'll put it on the outside. We'll put Beit Halevi Synagogue on the outside of the bus. So it doesn't look like Marit Ayin.
You should know, as when I was president of our shul about 10 years ago or so, I actually asked both the question and wanted to do this because we have a nursing home with Sephardic Jews who are isolated in the North End and can never come for Shabbat unless they have such a situation. So I actually attempted it.
Did Rabbi, Rabbi Maimon was there? Who was?
Rabbi Zaken Nixon.
Okay. So I'll tell you why I think. Any suggestions, Dubin? Any ideas why issues that could come up?
I want to throw in another curveball. I want to not only have the Beit Halevi Shabbat kosher bus, I want to add the fact that I'm going to Machon Lev and I'm making a special engine that is kasher, like a wheelchair engine for Shabbat. It starts and stops. So that's, you know, and a non-Jew that's driving it, that everybody knows it's a non-Jew, and he's wearing a hat that says, I am a non-Jew. So it's absolutely clear.
So I would say, still, I think the poskim are going to debate it. Let's see. One reason that they could bring up to make it an issue is, I'm not getting to the Machon Lev. That's an important thing. I was so mad, the Grumma scooters, they call them today, that sometimes old people that need a wheelchair or the like will use. For that type of situation, it's mutar, because otherwise they're very isolated, or Shlomo Zalman was ready to be lenient. That's called Grumma, those machines and those engines. But, and they use them in the Israeli army, they use them in certain places, they use them in hospitals in Israel, these type of things. Generally beyond old people or hospitals or the army, generally speaking, the poskim are not very into the Grumma machines because it leads to a zilzul of Shabbat, and there's a lot of different opinions with Grumma. I'm not getting to all of Grumma today, but suffice it to say it's not so simple. When they came out with the kosher switch, I don't know if you ever saw that, that was a big discussion if you could make a Grumma light switch. Some Rabbanim held it was okay, but most a lot of Rabbanim were very not into that. Okay, anyway, the kosher bus, So there's some reason to say it's a problem. One of them is because Amir Lanachri, very simple. Generally, we don't allow Yefkin Nadri to do something. Now, what about before Shabbat? Before Shabbat is also a problem. It's a machlok at Rishon, but that's what we hold. We hold it's a problem even before Shabbat. Okay, what about though for a mitzvah? So that's already, now it's more simple. Now it's more not simple. The Bali Tur does allow that. The Ramah does allow that if you need to. And we do sometimes, the Sfarim don't generally rely on the Bali Tur, but Shabbat Chak, a big extenuating circumstance, would allow. So it already gets to be a question if that's a real reason to make it Asur or not. That's one. Another reason, though, a different issue, is that when the Jew goes on the bus, it makes there's a, every Jew that goes on, it makes there's be a larger fuel consumption of whatever. The bus is going to need more fuel to run. Now, still, that's not going to be a problem of the Jew. The Jew is not burning anything. He's not running the car. The real reason with riding a car in Shabbat, driving a car is a problem, is because it's like lighting a fire. It's continuing to burn fuel. If you have a gas car, that's deraita. Using a electric car is derabanan. But either way, going on the car just to add more fuel is not really a problem. That's grama. It just means it goes back to the Amir Lanachri with the non-Jew. But he's doing melacha for Jews. Okay, so that's the main reason. Amir Lanachri comes back to Amir Lanachri because the non-Jew is driving it. The other issue is all the sorts of gzeirot that, well, I'll just put it in succinctly, that the Mishnah Berurah thinks it's a problem to go on any real transportation on Shabbat, and I'll share my screen already, that you can use for going long distances. Okay? They talk about this when trains came out in the 1800s. Once there was a doctor that went from whatever, town A to town B to save someone's life on Shabbat, and the Chatam Sofer was asked about it. Now, people thought that it could be the case was he wasn't saving someone's life, but the Chatam Sofer says, going on a train from place A to place B, does that make a mutar for the doctor? Now, leaving out the doctor, he says, going on a train is definitely a problem. What about the fact that the non-Jew is driving the train? And it's Amir Lanachri, but it may be Amir Lanachri when we get into Amir Lanachri, when he has majority of non-Jews, is mutar, because he's not doing it for me, he's doing it for everybody on the train. So the Chazan Sofer says, he pulls out an interesting reason, which is the Ramban. At the end of the slide, he puts the Ramban, who says that it's not considered a proper way of honoring Shabbat to be in a place where you can't concentrate and you can't actively daven or pray or learn or enjoy Shabbat. A person that's rattling through, on the train back and forth, and they're traveling place A to place B, that's a bitul of the mitzvah Shabbat, a Shabbaton, to enjoy the Shabbat. So that's the Chasam Sofer says that he thinks it's deraita to go on the train in Shabbat. And the Sitz Eliezer applies that to trains, subways, all the things of the like. Mishnah Berurah brings something like this, and he says, you see, the rabbis thought it was so serious, because one time in the days of Second Beit HaMikdash, someone was riding on a horse. What's the problem with riding on a horse on Shabbat? Anybody know? Deraita, derabanan. Anybody heard of such a thing?
Derabanan, you might take the branch.
Absolutely. So the Gemara says such a serious story. It says one time someone rode on a horse on Shabbat, and they took him out to the Beit Skila, and they stoned him to death. Well, they stoned him over a derabanan. What did he do wrong? The answer is because the Gemara says lo onesh kach. It's not whatever. It's not jadin. It wasn't that the halakha was like that, but rather, they needed to make a lesson. They needed to teach everybody what this person did brazenly in front of everybody to desecrate the Shabbat. They had to make a horacha to make a big public demonstration that that's a terrible, terrible thing. So we don't do that today. But the Mishnah Berurah brings that as precedent that transportation Shabbat is a very, very serious thing and that we should not be involved. Okay, so generally, going on the train, going on the Shabbat bus, most poskim are not going to be happy with the Shabbat bus or the train, or anything like that, even if you get around Amir Lanachri, which it generally is possible to get around Amir Lanachri and Melachot generally, but getting around this Chatzim Sofer that using and the Mishnah Berurah about transportation is generally not such a good issue. But I'll tell you where the leniencies do exist. For a doctor, anyway, who's going to have to drive, or he could take a subway, definitely much better to use the subway. Driving is going to be Melacha. Getting on the subway, there's not really any Melacha. So therefore, if that's a choice, that's for sure better. Another one is during Ben Hashemashot. A guy, let's say, is stuck. I'll end in just 2 minutes. We'll finish with this. What should a person do if they are stuck? stuck. They're in traffic, and they're on the highway. And Shabbat's about to start in 2 minutes, or 5 minutes, whatever. And they can't get to their house. What do? There's a big yetzer hara to keep driving past the sunset to be able to get home. And it's very difficult. I don't deny it. We always should try in advance to prepare more. Okay, but it does happen. Sometimes we get stuck in traffic. So, anybody have good ideas for this guy? What should he do? Should he park the car and just sit on the side of the road? That'd be sometimes very difficult and dangerous. Sitting on the side of the road of a highway, dangerous. Not a good recommended thing. Any other better solutions?
Drive with a shinui.
Shinui. How are you going to do that? Use your left foot. With a lot of difficulty. Not so safe.
I mean, I know, but I mean, when many Jews over the years got stuck coming home in the winter Shabbat University, he stopped his car, he drove off down Rainier Avenue, and he walked home.
Oh, so if you could do that, if you're in a place where it's safe enough to... Okay, so the answer is, like Dr. Levy is saying, the answer is like this. You are definitely supposed to turn off the car. You park it on the side of the street, as wherever you could find a place that you could park. You park the car. And then the next, if you could walk home, fine. If you walk home, if it's safe, fine. If you're not, you can use a Mir Lenachri. You could get in a cab or whatever, a bus, on Shabbat, right after Shabbat started, during Ben Shmashot. We would use, if we need to, even up to 58 minutes, for the Ben Shmashot of Rabbeinu Tam, we would use a little while, up to almost an hour, after Shabbat started, if you absolutely need to be able to get home with a Mir Lenachri. Not a Jew driving, but a non-Jew driving. Okay? Now, what about Tchum? You can't usually go more than Tchum. So, Chum Avadya has a Chazon Avadya, but someone is stuck and trying to get home. And otherwise, he's not going to be able to enjoy Shabbat. He's not going to be able to be with his family. He's not going to be able to be Kaim Mitzvot or Shabbat. So, it's a big Sarach Mitzvah. So, you can use a Mir Lenachri during Ben Shmashot for a Mitzvah. And even if it means, he talks about even going outside of Tchum. In most cities today, there's a lot to figure out about. Usually within New York City, it's not really a violation of Tchum and the like. But even if it means going outside of Tchum, there is what to be lenient. Okay, any other questions on this point? So basically what I'm saying is, if someone's stuck in a car right before Shabbat, best option is if you can walk home. Second best option is get a non-Jew to drive you for the next about half hour to hour. If it's going to be more than an hour drive, then that's still not going to work. Then you have to get out and then walk. And then the third option is about a subway, a train. So you could also do that during Ben Shmashot. But not beyond that, okay? So during Ben Shmashot.
What if you're in the highway, tons of traffic, you're in the middle of the highway? You can't just stop your car, Chilul Hashem.
So, you know, yes.
Slow other people down, make other Jews drive more on Shabbat that are not religious.
It's true. That you can't stop your car in the middle of the highway. If someone's in the middle, Shabbat started, and he's in the middle of the highway and he's stuck, so then it'll probably cause... it'll cause the pikuach nefesh to people. If you leave your car in the middle, you'll be in danger. So what you should do is drive to the side of the street and then as soon as you can. If it's as soon as you can, you drive to the side and you park and turn off the car. However, that's not the way to go. The way to go is when you're a few minutes before Shabbat, when you're 20 minutes before Shabbat, you should look at the road, see what's the quickest way to home, and see if there's any other towns nearby you could stop. Okay, when it's 5 minutes before Shabbat, that's the point where you start saying, I can't make it anymore. Find the next close place to park and get on an Uber. That's what you do when you're 5 minutes before Shabbat. But, all right, I tried covering a lot of things. If there's, the airplanes, simply said, we don't try to get on the airplane even before Shabbat, that should continue on Shabbat. One of the reasons they debate is Tchum. But very often Tchum is not the issue because it's above ground. Above 10 Tzachim is not usually Tchum. But the real reason is the Chatzim Sofer. It's not in the spirit of Shabbat to do big transportation on Shabbat. Okay? Any questions on this?
My father once got stuck on a plane coming back from, I think, China or something, Japan. And he had to, I forgot what it was, if you could explain, he had to spend a certain amount of time on the plane after it landed.
So basically, to some degree, someone wrote an article about this a few years ago. If you get stuck on a plane to come in on Shabbat, once it happened to my brother Raymond, and he said there is an issue of Tchum. Now, Tchum is a big debate if it applies in the airplane. But if it does, It means that from the time I come into the from the airplane, I can't go more than 4 amot. I can't, because if I was in one place before the beginning of Shabbat, I can't more than 2,000 amot from wherever that place was. If you're in an airplane over land, some people say that's considered you have tchum for wherever you were, wherever the plane was hovering over in the beginning of Shabbat. So you can't go more than 2,000 amot. And if your plane lands beyond that, which I'm sure most of the time always is going to, 2,000 amot is like half a mile. So then you can't go more than 4 amot. That being the case, however, the Gemara says if someone's stuck beyond tchum, but they need to go to the bathroom, they're allowed to go to the bathroom. So then they say a good eitzah is if he's either starving or he needs to go to the bathroom, he should walk to the nearest place where there is an eruv or in a city, and then go to the bathroom or go get some food so he doesn't starve. And once he's in the eruv, that's like all da'ad amot. So therefore, if a person is stuck in the airplane, if they're kicking him off, okay, so what is he? He basically doesn't have much of a choice. He doesn't want to cause a chilul Hashem, fine. But if they're not kicking him off, he should wait till he needs to go to the bathroom. If he needs to go to the bathroom, then he should be able to walk into the airport. He could definitely walk throughout the airport. That's no problem. But walking from the airport then to home depends on the way how the city is built. If it's in the city, if it's in a room, no problem. But if it's in the city, mamash, so then I think like the, I don't really know Seattle, but different, some airports are within the city basically, and some are not. I think like JFK is, some of them are more in the city and some of them are more far out of the city. For Tchumin, you can walk within the city. If it's not within the city area, if you'd square it off and make a box around the big city, then you can't walk. I don't know if that helps explain. Does that clarify?
Yes, thank you. Thanks
a lot, Rabbi. All right. Chazaka Baruch, thank you so much. Next week, if you want, I'd love to do Helchot Pesach about Erev Pesach, Shechali Yopi Shabbat, and those sort of things. Whatever you want. Or we could do Haggadah.
Haggadah.
So Haggadah is great. I'll have different Torah already. Chazaka Baruch.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful Shabbat. Thank you, Sal, for joining. Hami, thanks for your participation. All right. Chazak Baruch. Dubin, thank you.
Sorry, I was late.
No, I was late.